Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Friday, May 3rd. I am Josh Engelman, here to break down our two-game slate, Cleveland and Orlando. Game 6 in Orlando, Magic down 3-2, tipping off at 7 p.m. Clippers and Mavs, Clippers down 3-2. We're in Dallas, tipping off at 9:30. Shout out to DraftKings Pick 6 for being the sponsor of this show. You guys see the banner at the top of the screen. Don't be afraid to sign up using the link in the description. Peer-to-peer pick'em contests. It's a great, great setup. A little bit different than what you're used to at some of the other pick'em sites. I highly recommend you check it out. We'll talk about Pick 6 in a bit. I know I've been enjoying it, especially when they're throwing out little bits of credits and things on the Pick 6 side. DraftKings really trying to get people playing it. What a ridiculous game yesterday. Indiana and Milwaukee. If you had TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin, congratulations. They were the obvious way that the Pacers were going to blow out the Bucks. Sure, Miles Turner didn't exist. If you would have showed that score prior to the game, I think you would have had a lot of trouble ending up on TJ McConnell and Obi Toppin in that volume. Toppin was fantastic early, basically provided value immediately. You know, you didn't need as much out of the rest of those guys. It was just weird. There's no other way to describe it. McConnell, 44 and a half fantasy points. Tyrese Halliburton, 41. I mean, he played 31 minutes. What a relative, like, what a pedestrian Halliburton game. Toppin plays 24, 36 and a half. You got like a completely normal game out of Pascal Siakam. Nembhard was really good. Aaron Nesmith was fine, but he played 29 and a half minutes. I was expecting 38. Is Miles Turner at 14 and a quarter, 5 points, five boards, an assist, and a block, four fouls. He played 23 minutes. Like, if you just showed the minutes, oh, Miles Turner played 23, Nesmith played 29, Halliburton played 31, you would have assumed either the Pacers won by 40 or the Bucks won by 40. And you got the Pacers side, but not the guys you were expecting. It was just insane. Absolutely insane game. Then you got Knicks and Sixers. That one played out a little bit more normal. Obviously, Buddy Hield played the role of Obi Toppin / TJ McConnell in the second game. And then the least predictable thing that exists. Dante DiVincenzo never left the floor. He played all 48 minutes. He played more than Josh Hart, more than Jalen Brunson. A guy that I thought was live to play 24 minutes and get massive minutes to Miles McBride. Miles McBride played 9 minutes. Like, there was absolutely no way to project that that was going to happen yesterday. And yet it did. It's bonkers, man. It's bonkers. Truly crazy. So if today is going to look anything like yesterday, we're going to be playing some really weird dudes in these two games. Orlando looking to save their season. Dallas looking to finish off the Clippers. Both teams, both home teams, very different. Hopefully today we get something that looks a little bit more normal. But for now, I say we get into it. You guys want to talk some basketball? Two games to talk about. Here we go. Hey, Maxi, I see Ron says Maxi garbage. I had Maxi under on Prize Picks. I'm 3-1 this week on Prize Picks. We are 7-1 in the 8 plays that we've... No, that's not true. I think we lost them both on Tuesday. We're 6-2. So we went back to back yesterday and or 2 days ago and then yesterday. Now we're going for a three-peat today. So let's get into it. Let's talk some basketball, shall we? First game up, Cleveland Cavaliers, 4-point underdogs in Orlando, 199.5 total. This total is 9 points below Clippers and Mavs. And we have one guy pulling a ton of ownership, and then the rest of the team is pulling basically the same. We're also still waiting on the status of Jared Allen. Allen missed the previous game. My assumption is that he plays today, although we don't know for sure. But we will get that news early. 45% ownership coming into Max Strus right now. 5,100, shooting guard, small forward. I think he looks a lot like Aaron Nesmith yesterday, right around the same price, same positionality, like sort of the same role. Obviously, Nesmith way more involved defensively than Strus, but you know, you're just looking for threes. I think Strus looks fine. Like, that's just a flexible spot for a guy that should play around 36 minutes. We have him 41% optimal, 44% owned. I only got to 34%, but like, he clearly looks good. It's the rest of Cleveland we need to talk about. 20% ownership to Allen, 20 to Mobley, 20 to Mitchell, 20 to Garland, 20 to LeVert. Now, I'm looking at all of these guys very differently. Garland, I'm neutral on, and I have him projected heavy right now. Think about it like this. I'm 4 fantasy points ahead of where we are. We have him close to neutral to ownership, and I'm still a little bit under the field on Garland. Just because point guard only is difficult. However, point guard shooting guard Donovan Mitchell, 8,400, 20% owned, I'm 2xing. So I'm getting to a lot more of Donovan Mitchell. I'm also 2xing Evan Mobley. Now, I expect us to change this projection. We only have Mobley in for 32 minutes. That seems implausible to me. I went 36. So I am getting to Mobley at this moment. He's a fantasy point per minute guy. He has his power forward eligibility. My two keys based on ownership are Mitchell and Mobley. And I think you just stay around the field on Strus. But you guys have watched this show for a while. I've been a Garland guy for weeks. No crazy stand for me there. Allen scares the hell out of me. You have to assume, one, that he's at least mildly limited today. Two, it's a rib injury. It just feels like you're not moving around the same way. So I'm a little light on Allen, and I'm okay with that. The one guy that I don't have is Caris LeVert. Assuming Jared Allen plays, I think LeVert's only playing like 22 minutes. He certainly takes a rate bump when he has to play alongside everybody else here. Now, we have him 28% optimal, 18% owned. We also have him 3.5 fantasy points ahead of me and 3 more minutes ahead of me. So that's causing a lot of the boom-bust love for LeVert. I want to know what you guys think. Now, I'm assuming George Niang comes back into the rotation today if Jared Allen plays. If Allen is out, then I think we see Marcus Morris again. I think they're just looking at that in a different way. They're looking for defense in a slightly different way. Niang, the flat min, probably not someone I'm looking at just because of the ambiguity. But I'm looking to take my stands on Mitchell and Mobley. I'm looking to be lighter on Garland and Allen. It's obviously a tough matchup heading to Orlando. Cleveland has not looked good in Orlando in those two games in the series. But the Allen news will be big because that will just redistribute minutes. But assuming he is in, Mitchell, Mobley, Strus over or neutral. Garland, Allen under. BD, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm not even thinking about the Boston versus whoever series. It doesn't really matter who wins. I mean, Boston will destroy Orlando. Orlando will never be able to score against Boston. They're dead in the water. Cleveland can obviously get behind like big offensive days, but Boston handles that series no matter what. Chat, what do you like for Cleveland here today? Are you guys with me on Mitchell? I mean, I went 40 minutes, and I think some of these guys could play even more. But what do you guys want to do for Cleveland here today? You guys like Garland more? You guys like Allen more? Gene likes Mitchell. All right. Aaron's in for Strus. Strus is just one of those things that fits. Like, he's really hard to talk about because it's not even like I have him projected well. Like 0.7 fantasy points per minute, but guard forward in that price is fine. Oh, no. Chandra thinks Mitchell's the play. I'm going to have to go ahead and change those rates. That's going to be a problem. Seems like people want to take a look at Isaac Okoro if Jared Allen is out. But look, it's just, it's an interesting spot for Cleveland because you're really only paying attention to that Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, Allen, Strus group, assuming Allen's in. But I think Mitchell's got to be the best dude here. In a closeout game, I don't think that price is crazy. You got to figure he's playing around 40 minutes. Oh, Pierre, trust me. I like the other side of this one more, too. I am heavy, heavy, heavy on the Orlando Magic. They are my most exposed team. I have 142% of Cleveland. I have 372% of Orlando. So I have more than you can, like, I have three guys north of 30% for Cleveland. I have more than double the exposure to the Orlando Magic. But we need that Jared Allen news. The good thing is, it doesn't matter. Like, we're going to get that news no matter what. It's the first game. This would be a lot scarier if it were the second game, but it's not. So that's the way that I see Cleveland. I want to get to, I'm going to sum it up right here. I think Donovan Mitchell is the best play from Cleveland. I think Max Strus is probably second. And then I like Evan Mobley as my preferred GPP option coming from Cleveland at just 17% ownership. Now, wait till you guys see this. Here's Orlando. Buckle up. I have all of this team. Now, this will the dramatics of this will change. But we have 75% ownership being projected to Wendell Carter. Now, I can tell you guys right now, that is going to come down. Although, at 4,400, he's a great play. We have him 65% optimal, 75% owned. We also gave him 30 minutes. I think that's a little optimistic. I know he played it last time out. I don't think that has to happen every time. They have enough moving parts that I went 28, and I think you could realistically get to 30. That just seems a little lofty. It's not that it, like, I mean, I have Wendell Carter Jr. fifth, but if he's 75% owned, I'm going to have trouble getting all the way to the top. If that comes down to like 60 to 65, then I'm probably around 50, and I'm feeling great because he looks great on paper. But I think Jalen Suggs is the best play today. I have 84% of him. I have 80% of Franz Wagner. I have 75% of Paolo Banchero. I have all of this team. I have 50% of Cole Anthony. Now, that will never last. I won't have half my lineups with a backup dude from Orlando, but I think that's just telling us where the value is today. John Isaac's pulling 40%. Mo Wagner's pulling another 20%. I have all of this team. All of this team. It's hard not to. It's really hard not to. Houston for 3,000? What are you, Demetrius, what are you talking about?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Demetrius, whatever you're thinking, just remove that from your brain. Suggs starting? Guys, have you seen Orlando play? Of course Suggs is starting. Anyway, I've got Gary Harris in, obviously. Let's talk about the real pieces here. You guys drove this one into the ground before we even got started. Anyway, let's start with the chalk. So Wendell Carter Jr. is going to be the highest owned dude from Orlando. So my expectation is that he will look like one of the best plays just because of that price. He's still just $4,400. And I think you have to expect like 28 minutes or so. You know, he played 33 last time out. He played 25 and 24 in the two previous games. They were blowouts in Orlando. So I don't know how you get away from that value. Like the points per dollar on Wendell Carter Jr. David, I'm going to say this right now. Caleb Houston is not starting this game. They are not just taking a guy that is playing 0 minutes in a playoff series and then starting him in game six down 3-2. Could he play? Maybe. Is he starting? That would be insane. You don't start people in the playoffs that haven't been in your playoff rotation. This isn't just a Tuesday in the middle of December. If they lose the game, their season ends. They are way more likely to just play the dudes that normally play more. I'm not saying Harris is going to play or not. Like, I'm projecting him in because he's questionable. If he sits, he sits. Caleb Houston is not starting this basketball game. That would be one of the more unprecedented things that have happened in the NBA. It's just lunacy. It's lunacy. Here's a question for you guys. Why did Caleb Houston not play after Gary Harris got hurt? They didn't even bring him in then. I mean, that's just bonkers. 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 Anyway. Yeah, that's a good strategy, Trevor. Magic don't care. They don't want to get to the second round. That's probably what the team's doing. Do you guys just wake up and drink stupid juice? I can't even believe it. Let's talk about the real players on the Orlando Magic before you guys just dumb your way to the bottom. I got to talk about my number one dude, which is going to be Jalen Suggs. 5,700. Now he's point guard only. We have him at 28% ownership. He's at around 0.9 fantasy points per minute over the past 30 days. It's about where I have him here. We saw Suggs play 39 minutes last time out. He played 28 and a half and 28 in the two previous games. In a closeout game at home, I think it's hard to assume that he's going to play minimal. I mean, like all of those rotations you see. Like he played, here's the easy way to look at it. Last time out, he played 10 minutes in the first quarter, 7.5 minutes in the second quarter. That's 17 and a half. That puts you on pace for 35. I gave him 35. Clearly could play more here. The whole industry has Houston starting. We don't. Another site that already has projections out that people subscribe to doesn't. But yeah, everybody else does. RotoWire, the place that no one goes to for DFS data ever. You guys could have it. You guys could have it. That's nuts. And I can't even do it anymore. I love Jalen Suggs today at 5,700. I'm surprised to see his ownership be as low as it is. The fact that he's only point guard eligible is the mild problem. But line star. This guy says line star. Like anybody gives a shit what line star does. Oof. Oh. Well, that's a good one. That's a good one, man. Line star. Oof. That one got me. Anyway. Sub 30% owned for Jalen Suggs playing 35 minutes. I think he's the easiest dude to get here. Like, he's so important defensively that you want him out there. I don't know how he doesn't, like, if this game is competitive, I don't know what is happening in the game where Suggs isn't playing 34 plus minutes. David, you're looking at every site that no one with money goes to. There's nobody's subscribing to Line Star and RotoWire if they actually take DFS seriously. No one. Literally zero people. Now, I'll take into account that every real DFS site is projecting Gary Harris in, obviously. But once he's out, then we can have this conversation again. David, you should try opening your eyes when you look at them, because it seems like you're just keeping them shut. Yeah, where did you get Caleb Houston's minutes here today? CalebHouston.com? Anyway, I will be on this hill from now until lock. Jalen Suggs is the best play today. I'm putting it on paper right now. Jalen Suggs is my nuke of the night. Let's get that started. Let's talk about the second best play here from Orlando. That's going to be Franz Wagner. Projected for 50% ownership. I have him third overall. Small forward. Certainly a difficult position to fill. 7,200. I went 38 minutes. He played 38 minutes last time out. Being at home is a big help. I only have him at 1.05 fantasy points per minute. He's at 1.14 over the past 30 days. I'm getting to all of the Franz Wagner possible because of his position. I think Suggs and Wagner are my preferred pair, although I don't want to sell Paolo Banchero short at 8,300. I went 39 minutes here. He's in 74% of my lineups. The only struggle for me for Banchero is the power forward tends to have a lot of options, whereas small forward is going to be a little bit thinner. But that's 80% for me of Franz Wagner, 84 of Suggs, 74 of Banchero. I could not be more Team Orlando today. I just think they're the easiest team to get to. I certainly still see a path for Mo Wagner to provide value at 3,800, especially with that power forward center option. I'm neutral there. Isaac being 4,200 power forward center is interesting. If Gary Harris is out, I'm really curious to see what they do. They closed the game. They closed game five with Isaac in Harris's spot. That's the part that will be, I think, the most interesting if Gary Harris gets ruled out. Because at that point, I think we're bumping up John Isaac's minutes enough that he's going to become the number one play on the slate. Isaac played his normal rotation in the first half. You know, he got about 10 minutes, and then he played his normal second rotation. And then when they decided they needed to go to a closing lineup, John Isaac played the final 7 minutes and 19 seconds to close out the game alongside the other 4 starters. I would assume that's what they're doing. I know, David, I wish we actually charged more. It would be a lot better. I'm not sure you understand how pricing works or economics or, well, no, I don't know why I'm saying it like that. You clearly don't understand any of that kind of stuff, but you price things based on what people are willing to pay. And let me tell you what, people seem to be willing to pay it. It's awesome. It's really fun having a business that's incredibly successful. I'm sure you can't understand that either. John Isaac, if Gary Harris is out, is going to go from 43% owned to more than that the moment he comes out. Because if you just even take him from 19 minutes to like 22 or 23, he's going to be in the 50s in ownership. And at that point, we're talking about John Isaac being one of the best possible options. The Fultz-Cole-Anthony dynamic is really interesting. We got 11.5 minutes out of Cole-Anthony last time out, 14.5 out of Fultz. Anthony was not great. But as I look at it, I think the biggest piece of Cole-Anthony versus Markelle Fultz is the fact that Cole-Anthony has an MPE. You've got Fultz at 3,200. You've got Anthony at 3,300. Cole-Anthony having the shooting guard eligibility, I think, is what's separating them from me. I know that you guys can... Now I know you guys can see on my screen that I have a lot of Cole-Anthony. I will not have 50% of him. This is just first run, first look. I won't have 50% of a 13% owned Cole-Anthony. I would much rather have like 30% and give another 20 to Fultz and like balance those two guys out. Hey, news guy, you know who the King of Line Star was, right? Former thorn in my side. Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Carter Jr. Unassailable. If Harris is out, John Isaac, join that club. Unassailable. Mo Wagner, Markelle Fultz, Cole-Anthony. All very viable value options. Let's have the Caleb Houston discussion now. If Gary Harris is out, all right, so he's the flat min. If Gary Harris is out, you can then project some minutes to Caleb Houston. 8 to 12 seems like the most reasonable number. They ended up getting 10 to Joe Ingles last time out. Ingles probably grabs a couple. I think you see the minutes for Gary Harris spread out to a bunch of different people. I think you feel better about Cole-Anthony. You feel better about Markelle Fultz. You bump Joe Ingles a bit. You certainly bump John Isaac a bit. And then after you do all of those things, whatever's left is what Caleb Houston gets. So that Gary Harris news will be important. You guys know that Gary Harris is just going to play now and then play 34 minutes and make like 10 threes. But assuming that's the way that this shakes out with Harris out, I think you prioritize the current rotation guys bumping their minutes, and then whatever's left to 240 at that point is what you assign to Caleb Houston. At that point, he will get a little bit of ownership because of being the flat min. And shooting guard small forward is the best positional eligibility that you can get to. So you'll start comparing him to Anthony and Fultz and, you know, whatever pay down options you find in the rest of this. Paul, they could. I would be surprised if they started Fultz at point guard. I don't even really know who I think would start in that spot. Maybe it would be Fultz. I think they'd be really worried about offense if they went Fultz and Suggs. But the good news is this game starts at 7. I don't care what they do, because at 6:30, when we're live on NBA Live Before Lock, they're just going to tell us. And then we project in whatever we want, and none of this discussion ends up mattering. What, even if Caleb Houston plays, it changes nothing about what we're doing right now. We'll discuss what that means on the show. We'll get new projections, and we'll deal with it. But as I look at it right now, they probably would start Fultz. I don't like it, though. Although, if they're looking for more offense, you look at that third quarter rotation with Anthony coming in when Gary Harris got hurt. If Cole Anthony would have just played a little bit better, that would probably be the spot. Orlando's the best team you can get to today. That's the thing that I want you guys to take away from it right here. Whether it's Anthony, Franz, Suggs, Isaac, Fultz, Wagner, Banchero, Carter, they're all borderline good to great plays, depending on who's in and out. I don't know how you don't get to a lot of Orlando. I expect them to win the game, too, so it helps that I'm getting exposure to the team that I think succeeds the most here. They're 4-point favorites. That looks good. Anybody else have any Orlando questions for right now? Because I'm seeing them as the best team you could possibly want to roster. I have 372% of those guys. That's 3 or 4 Magic guys in everything I'm building. Yeah, Paul, I'm with you there. Well, I think Isaac plays north of 20. If Harris is out, Isaac's playing north of 20. If the Fultz piece then just becomes who's playing better between him and Cole Anthony. Would I stack Orlando? I don't have a choice. I am stacking Orlando. If I have 80% of Franz, Suggs, and Paolo Banchero, and another 35 of Carter, I'm already stacking them. Orlando and Dallas both win tonight. That's for sure. As my picks, at least. Whether or not that happens is a different discussion, but I'm definitely taking both home teams tonight. All right, so that's Orlando. Hit that like button if you're here. 311 people. It's 10:30. Let's talk a little bit about what we've got going on for the rest of today. We have MLB Strategy Show, Laffy and Bellman this morning at 11 a.m. Then you get Emac and Bellman tonight at 5 p.m. for MLB Live Before Lock. I will be back with Eric at 6 for NBA Live Before Lock. And then you get me for playback, 7 to 8. Let's go ahead and take a look at the LA Clippers and what I expect to be their final game of the playoffs. And their final game of being a team that anybody cares about, because Paul George, not going to be on the Clippers next year. So for the Clippers, pretty balanced ownership right now. Paul George is at 30, Harden at 27, Norm Powell at 25, Coffey at 20, Mann at 15, Westbrook at 15, Plumlee's basically at 15, Zubats is basically at 15. I don't love the Clippers side. I don't have anybody that I want to take like an immediate big stand on. But I think there are some pieces to like here. Let's start with the guy that I have the most of. I have 30% of Mason Plumlee right now at 3,200. He's playing around 15 minutes each night. And I think that's a pretty good value for a guy that's going to be like 0.9 fantasy points per minute. Any Zubats foul trouble is probably a benefit. My only fear for the Clippers today is that we get a lot of PJ Tucker because of how shitty Russell Westbrook is. Russell Westbrook is killing this team right now. And it's going to be very important, I think, if they want to try to continue to use Westbrook, I think they have to go to more PJ Tucker at the five. And that's where it's going to get tricky. Because I don't think they can play Westbrook anymore with this lack of spacing. He can't make a shot to save his life. He is... Get ready for this. Here we go. Russell Westbrook is 2 for 12 from 3 in the past 4 games. 0 for 9 from mid-range. 4 for 14 at the rim. It's been bad. It's been really, really bad, which is no surprise. Russell Westbrook is not made for the playoffs. He hasn't been in years. This is a bad, bad spot. But if they have no spacing because of Mason Plumlee or Zubats being out there, Westbrook's dead in the water. Now, I have 0% of Westbrook. That feels good. I do have Plumlee. That scares me because of Tucker. The rest of it is all kind of blah. Like, I'm neutral on Zubats. He's fine. I'm basically neutral on Harden. He's 8,700, but it's just point guard. It's fine. I don't have a single share of $4,900 Norm Powell, who's a 0.65 guy right now. He's going to be in a quarter of a lineups. Good riddance to that, man. I don't need it in any way. I have a little bit of Terrence Mann. That's fine. A little bit under on Amir Coffey. He's a 0.5 fantasy point per minute guy. I'm fine not getting to these 20% owned guys that are horrific point per minute dudes. Whether that's Coffey, whether that's Norm Powell. I like being light on Terrence Mann, even though he plays more minutes. It's just disgusting. It's truly disgusting. But, like, you got to get to some of the Clippers. The fact that they're 8-point dogs is wild, but also completely warranted. You're getting to these guys. Like, I have 20% of Harden, 20% of George, 30 of Plumlee, 15 of Zubats. Like, you use these guys as filler. You're probably putting a Clipper into just about every lineup you make. But, I mean, like, it's really hard to say that any of these guys stand out. I have Mason Plumlee ranked 10th. That's the highest rank I have of anybody on the Clippers. I'm concerned with their rotational dynamics. Now, it's also possible Terrence Mann doesn't play. If he sits, you know, you're probably getting to a little bit more of Norm Powell. Probably, you know, you're going to have to swap some other stuff around. You probably start looking at like Derek Jones Jr. in that range, or you're dropping down and getting like Maxey somehow after swapping around. But I don't really like the Clippers all that much. They are my least exposed team. I have 106%. They're projected for 150. What do you guys like from the Clippers here, if anything? Or do you think they're just going to go home without a whimper? I really do think that Mason Plumlee is the sneakiest option from the Clippers. But you got to cross your fingers and pray that PJ Tucker doesn't get out there. Because that's where it gets scary. I'm not sure that Mann being out is like clearly it makes Norm Powell better. Because you're just going to, he has the ability to play a couple extra minutes. I still don't think he looks good, even if I give him 4 more minutes. He just becomes like a guy that you can roster a little bit that I think ends up being wildly overowned. Like, he's not involved. He's whatever you guys think Norm Powell is on the Clippers, he's not that. So far in the, let's just say in the playoffs so far for Norm Powell, he's played 143 minutes, 17.7% usage rate. That is quite low for what you think Norm Powell, because Norm Powell is scoring and nothing else. He basically doesn't participate in basketball games. There you go, going with the Bones Highland sneak play. I don't think you can acquire points from the bench when you don't play at all, but you know that's a decent strategy. Once again, Sean Dre showing up, letting everybody know that he has no idea what he's talking about. But I'm just like, everything you ever wanted out of Norm Powell was him trying to create offense. If he's not even creating offense, what's he doing out there? Powell is basically Klay Thompson. Way worse version of that. Way worse version of that. Now, he has been knocking down the threes, 47%, well, 48% from three, 11 of 23 so far in the playoffs. I get the path to Norm Powell, but him being like a 0.65 fantasy point per minute guy is really scary to think about. Who's the best play on the Clippers today? Chat, let me know. It's probably PG, right? Just because of guard forward. You know, you figure he's playing 48 minutes in a competitive game. Did I say 48 minutes? I meant 40 minutes. Hey, get me, man. Let the bone stuff go. Random. No. That's a real dumb take. Why would I admit that Nick Nurse is overrated now? Any team with a coaching vacancy would want to hire him immediately. I like that shout there, Paul. Jaden, there's the Zubac shout. He is getting slept on. I mean, he looked good at the beginning of this series. Not so much now. 6,600. I'm neutral to the field, but you could certainly see a path where Zubac is massive in the paint. Now, before we close it out, let's talk about DraftKings Pick 6. Link in the description. Get up to $100 in Pick 6 credits with a deposit after clicking that link. It's a pick'em site, but it's peer-to-peer. So depending on how everybody else does, that determines how well your payout will look if you smack that card. I love this dynamic. I think it's a lot more interesting than what else we see at the other pick'em sites. I think you're going to see this sort of dynamic coming out a little bit more. They're showing a lot more advanced data of like what side people have picked once things lock. It's a really cool gimmick. I like it a lot. Got a lot of additional pick six credits that they handed out at the beginning of the playoffs. Check out Eric's pick six shorts. Puts those out every day if you're looking for pick six plays. The link is in the description. Again, you get up to $100 in pick six credits as long as you sign up. Minimum deposit, $5. All righty. Dallas Mavericks, final team to look at. Interesting team to look at. 59% ownership right now coming into Luka Doncic at 11,900. I have 36. So am I light on Luka? Yeah, but if you roster Luka, you're funneling to a very specific build. Now, do I like having only 36? No, I mean, he's clearly the best play on today's slate. I have him personally projected for 20 more fantasy points than anybody else, which is insane. But at the same time, you know, when you lock him in for 11-9, there are a lot of decisions you have to make after that that are required to do it. We have him 50% optimal, 59% owned. If you can roster Luka Doncic and you like the lineup, please go for it. I also have 30% of Kyrie Irving at 30% owned. That to me seems pretty good. I also took Kyrie's over on Prize Picks, 8,900 point guard, shooting guard. If Dallas wins, one of those two guys are paying off their salary. I'm happy to take the shot on Kyrie at half the ownership of Luka Doncic today and to build out a much easier lineup. But look, I'm still getting to Luka. The guy that I have the most of right now, and this is sort of like Cole Anthony in that this will come down as we get closer to lock, but I do like the indicator. I have more of Derek Lively than I have of anybody else. I went 20 minutes to Lively for today. We're coming off of a game where Derek Lively played 24 and a half minutes. He played 21 in game two. He played 19 in game one. I gave him 20 for today, which seems pretty reasonable. I like that value at 4,100. Needs 22 fantasy points. That all looks good to me. I'm still getting some Daniel Gafford. I'm still getting Maxi Kleba. They were able to run Maxi Kleba at the four a little bit, which I think was really helpful for them in game five. So I'm getting to all of those pieces. The one guy that I am not getting to here for Dallas is PJ Washington, 5,900, power forward center. I went 35 minutes. I do think he's live to play more than that if things are going well. Or if it's competitive, like I think you can get up to 37 or 38. PJ Washington in this series, 15% usage, 50% true shooting. He is 6-for-24 from three. That is 25%. Could today be the PJ Washington coming out party? Yeah, maybe. I'm going to bank on him continuing to have really low usage and to not be able to make a shot. And at that point, he needs every minute he can get. So at 5,900 for PJ Washington, if he's going to be 30% owned, I'm basically not going to have him. Give me Kleba. Give me Luka. Give me Kyrie. Give me Lively. Give me Gafford. Give me Derek Jones Jr. Derek Jones Jr., by the way, playing fantastic defense in this series. Absolutely looking great. It's a shame. I don't think Dallas is going to be able to keep him coming out of this year. I don't think they're going to be able to afford it. And that is going to be a bit of a problem because he has been thriving right now. What do you guys like most from Dallas? And if it's Luka, just be like, obviously it's Luka. But I think Kyrie looks the best relative to ownership. You know, we have him 32% optimal, 28% owned. I like the idea of getting to Kyrie more just because it balances out your lineup a bit. Irving and Lively, Derek Jones, Luka, Kleba, Lively, Derek Jones Jr. Yeah. Yeah, like, look, Luka looks awesome. Looks awesome at 11.9. That's just a lot of salary. When your pay down options are Mo Wagner, Cole Anthony, Plumlee, Amir Coffey, Maxi Kleba. So right now, my exposures at the top. Don't get hung up on the minutes or on the numbers themselves, but directionally. Random, have you thought? I'm not wrong. Everybody agrees with me. You're the one coming in with a take that no one agrees with. He keeps getting jobs for some reason. What's he supposed to... I don't even know why I deal with stupid people. It's just, it's so aggravating. How do you guys get through life just not knowing anything about anything? Jalen Suggs, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero. They are my three most exposed dudes. Orlando, Orlando, Orlando. Then we get to Derek Lively. Then we're going back to Orlando for Cole Anthony. Biggest fades off the jump. Wendell Carter Jr., although I do think he looks exceptional, he's still in 30% of my lineups, but if he's 74% owned, I'm just not going to get there. PJ Washington, I am a believer in that fade. Norm Powell, I am a believer in that fade. I'm lighter on Luka and lighter on John Isaac, but still getting there. That's not the same kind of fade. Number one lineup coming out of the Sims this morning. Suggs, Anthony, Bruce, Banchero, Plumlee, Mitchell, Mobley, Harden. What's the highest ranked Luka lineup that we have here? Oh, it's number two, actually. Harden, Anthony, Franz, Paolo, Plumlee, Luka, Maxi, Lively. That's just so much pay down. To get to Luka, that's pay down, and it doesn't matter what these names are. It just says how much you have to pay down. Cole Anthony, Maxi Kleba, Derek Lively, Mason Plumlee. I mean, you're punting. You got to get four punts right, basically, to get Luka Doncic right. That's hard. That's hard. Like, obviously, you're getting to Luka, but I think that's a sign of, like, what that lineup ends up having to look like. Well, guys, on that note, I think we're going to pack it in. We've got MLB strategy show coming up next at 11 a.m. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? Yeah, Paul, that's a good point. Yesterday we had Batum, Obi Toppin, McConnell. That's what you're going to need for Luka. That's going to be important. Look, who knows? Based on the way that I've been talking, we're surely going to get Gary Harris out. Caleb Houston's going to start. He's going to be 60% owned at the flat 3K, and then you could roster all the Luka you want. Two punts to get to Luka is all you need. No. Where's Paul George going next year? Philly seems like the most likely answer. Don't sleep on Orlando. Definitely not to the Knicks. Although, great fit, and they should, but who reps Paul George? Oh, never mind. Paul, I'm going to change my mind there. I'm going to say the Knicks. I'm with you. I didn't think Paul George was repped by CAA, but he is. He's repped by Aaron Mintz. That changes everything. Well, it's not even about the Knicks getting the money. For the Knicks to get somebody, they have to be repped by CAA. They're not going to get a star from a different agency. So, you get Paul George, CAA. Same, guys, here's one for you. Paul George shares an agent with, you ready for this? Jalen Brunson. Josh Hart, Isaiah Hartenstein, Julius Randle. Now, I think Julius Randle is going to have to get shipped out for some of this, but when you get repped by CAA, you're allowed to play for the Knicks. It's crazy how that works. It's crazy how that works. Think about that. By the way, Aaron Mintz also used to represent Carmelo Anthony. Thank you guys for being here. It's been a fun show. NBA Live Before Lock coming up at 6 p.m. tonight. Sign up for DraftKings Pick 6. Good luck to everybody here today. Let me know in the comments section who wins these games. Cleveland, Orlando, Clippers, Dallas. Tell me in the comments. I'll talk to you later.